down because we were forced to, it was really nice. Like I got to, I mean, one of like they walk in like, "Daddy, you just like have meetings on your computer for work? Is that what you do for a job?" I mean, before that, they would have never realized what I do. But just that they started picking up on more things and wherever, you know, whatever points they're at, still in school, out of school, just realizing it's okay to slow down. We don't need a pandemic to make it happen. Like, just slow down and enjoy yourself and the people around you.
And Eugene, same question.
Be there for each other, care for one another. And we've tried to instill that into them their whole lives. But I think the family time has been good. They've always loved mom more. So I'm not ashamed to admit it. That's fine. I would love her more too. But now when I have to go do something, it's, "Oh, you're leaving." Or when I come back, "Oh, hey, dad's home." And it's kind of nice to get that feeling like they care a little more about dad than they used to. But it makes me realize too that I've become closer to them as well. And it's sad that it took a pandemic, I guess, to cause that. But it was good to slow down.
Absolutely incredible. I cannot thank you guys, all of you, for being here today and sharing your heartfelt stories and experiences. I want to thank Stefan Kolmar, Eugene Woodell, Kathy Duenas, and Phil Belongi, who are parents at the Racine Unified School District and shared the experiences of their families and their children and themselves as they go through this pandemic. Thank you all for being here. Until next time, bye everybody.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist with the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside, and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. Our topic today is arts, culture, and music during COVID-19 in southeastern Wisconsin. My guests are Kevin Poirier, Vice Chairperson of the Kenosha Commission on the Arts, Francisco Loyola, Executive Director of Kenosha Creative Space, Beth Derry, a Director of Lemon Street Gallery, and Dale Mellor, Lemon Street's president. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Len.
Good morning, Len.
So glad to have you all with us this morning on Community Matters. Kevin Poirier, you're the vice chair of Kenosha's Commission on the Arts. It's your email to me and some 400 others earlier this week about a survey of arts organizations that brings us all together here today. So since you caused this, let's begin by you telling our listeners what's going on. What's with the survey? Just because the last one was 5 years ago, or because of COVID-19, or both, or maybe some other reasons too? Kevin?
Well, and thank you so much for having me on your show. It's definitely both. I'm a fairly new member on the Art Commission, but we noticed that our art survey, which it's trying to track the art community in Kenosha and in the area. I mean, it's wider than Kenosha. Was old, and that the community has changed in the last 5 years. So we had been working on an update for a while, and then COVID happened. So we kind of paused and just thought about it for a while, and we wanted to add a part of that survey that was just dealing with COVID, because it has affected a lot of the art organizations, and we wanted to see how that had happened. I think we are all worried that some organizations are not gonna be able to recover from that, but we also had some positive feedback from some people that said that actually for them, it was an opportunity to spend more time on the arts. So we wanted to get an update on the last survey. So the second part of the survey is actually a lot of the same questions, just kind of see how things have evolved. And the first part of the survey just is trying to assess just COVID in particular. What we would like to do is do it more often than every 5 years, so we actually track how the art community in Kenosha and the area is progressing.
So you'll be able to do some comparative work. That's terrific, between the two surveys once this new one is completed. And when can people take the survey?
They can take it now. Now, I will say that I apologize to everyone. We had kind of a little snafu with the first email that was sent out. Despite a lot of testing and everything, still, the first survey that was not the survey that we wanted people to take. So I got hundreds of emails, and I haven't responded to all of them yet, but now the survey should be up and running, and the link is still good. So if you've tried it right away, which I really appreciate, it didn't work properly, but now it's been updated and it does. So please go back and take a look at it. And as far as who should take it, I think anybody that's involved in the art should take it. I can't think of there'd be any reason that to have anybody not take it. We only send it to the people that we had on our list. And Lemon Street Gallery was very nice and shared some of their email list. Other organizations did not. So we were very, very thankful to them and Street Gallery. But if you want to share that link, share that email, and have as many people take it as possible, I think they would give us a better picture of the community.
Well, if someone didn't get the email, Mr. Poirier, what should they do in order to, and they feel that they're a part of the arts creative communities, what should they do to weigh in? How would they connect you?
Well, the best way would probably to email kenosha.art.survey@gmail.com. This is the email that we've dedicated to send the survey out, and I will get it and I'll respond. We are hoping to have that email continue down the road and be attached to the Art Commission to conduct the survey in the future.
Give us that email address again, please.
It is kenosha.art.survey@gmail.com.
Now, Kevin, in your initial email you sent us all this week, you noted that early indications were that there was an enormous impact of COVID-19 on the state's workforce. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I have not looked at the state data, to be perfectly honest with you. I did not dive in it. I mean, I think we all know that there has been a huge impact on the community. As a member of the Kenosha Creative Space Board, too, I'm well aware that we have had to cancel a lot of our events, and that has definitely impacted us as to the way we've been running the space. We've had to change a lot of things. I think depending on who the art organizations are, there's been a lot of challenges as well. And maybe some of our guests can address that a little bit better than I can.
Well, your email said that 2/3 of the creative people in the state are unemployed.
That's correct. That's part of the state data.
And of course, that's a little bit broader. The creative workforce is a little bit broader than the arts community, because that includes people who do other things. They may be a graphic designer, for example, for Uline or what have you. So that's a bit of a broad. That's really quite a striking figure, 2/3 unemployed. I don't know if that's still the case today, but it certainly was the case very recently. And I found that quite shocking. Now, what was the use of the last survey? When you did it 5 years ago, can anyone on the call tell us what was the impact of that survey? What were you able to do with that data as we think about what's going to happen in the future?
I think maybe Francisco would be a better place to answer this, because he was actually on the Art Commission when the first survey was conducted and that was not.
Okay, Lynn, thank you for inviting us to this forum. Yes, the original idea from the survey that was called Kenosha Rising was to give or change the conversation to the arts. We usually are thinking and the community supports the arts and we are making sure that everything looks better, prettier, but we were never able to give a message about how the importance of the economic impact of the arts in the community. So the idea was to get the data from the state, the data from the National Endowment for the Arts, and just put it into the local numbers. And we discovered that actually there is a great impact that the arts have in the community. I believe that that changed the conversation. Instead of people thinking that they need to support the arts because there is a good philanthropic activity, people started realizing, especially organizations, business, the importance of is not only the philanthropic aspect, but is the economic impact and the economic development that they bring into the city and they bring into the county. I think that was the biggest impact that survey had, that we were able to change the conversation as an artist in order to get it into a more direct impact. And that's true, because I think it's our fault as an artist. I don't think that we're really good transmitting our message, that how important is what we do. And I think that's probably one of the steps to get it started.
Who else would like to comment?
Hi, Lynn. This is Beth Derry from Lemon Street Gallery. And again, thank you very much for having us today. Not to spend too much time on the creative economic strategic plan that was developed through Kenosha Rising, but there were four really good initiatives that came as a result of the survey and the study that was done with the Bowles Center. And I think that is, these four initiatives were really the area in which we can, going forward, look at with future surveys. And they were, you know, creating the business partnerships and philanthropy that Francisco was talking about, also community marketing, neighborhood revitalization through the arts, and working on downtown revitalization. So those were some really good objectives that came from that survey.
Dale?
So I would also like to input a little bit too. This is Dale Meller. I'm board president at Lemon Street Gallery. I think at the time I was not involved with Lemon Street when Kenosha Rising came to be. I am an artist, and I think that apart from bringing awareness of the arts in a more prominent way to a broader range of people, I think it also it made artists feel like they had a voice and their contributions to the community were being recognized. And that was, I think, as important as any other benefits that have come from Kenosha Rising.
Well, that's an important point, Dale. I think there's a great button I have in the house, art is not a frill. And that sort of sums up what you're talking about, doesn't it? Because yeah, the arts have an impact on learning and cognitive function starting at a very young age. And we know that we suspected that for a long time, but now we know that through research. And so I think that's really important. And that's why we're rather militant, aren't we, about those of us who appreciate the arts, about not cutting them in the schools every time there's a budget issue, because we're actually hurting cognitive function when we do that. We know that because of research. I wonder if the four of you could comment on how you foresee this current survey as maybe helping in the future. What are your hopes and wishes for how the information from this survey could help the arts, culture, humanities, performance groups, music, and all recover from the panic and the pandemic and the destroyed and the closed venues? What are your hopes for what this survey might reveal to you?
Well, I'll speak to that. Again, this is Dale. I think that awareness tends to be one of the best things that comes from surveys of this nature. It shows people the impact, in this case, of something like COVID-19 on not only the arts community, but all the businesses and things. I think that bringing that awareness and being able to focus on the impact of the arts in the community and then the COVID-19 effect upon the arts ultimately will bring more recognition to the importance of the arts in the community, if that came out straight. You know, the arts are something that at a time of trouble like COVID-19, the arts bring a lot of solace and hope and comfort to people in all of its forms, whether it's visual art, music, dance. We've all experienced that ourselves, the benefit of the arts. And so this type of survey will just enhance that, I think, to a wider audience.
Thank you. Francisco, you have a comment?
Yes, I believe that one of them, my hope that this comes from the survey is this. Wisconsin has a bigger problem than the other states. When I came to the to live to Kenosha, the Arts Wisconsin, the organization, the lobby for funding for the arts, it was a number at that time. I believe it was 14 years ago, about $1.92 per capita that was invested in Wisconsin for the arts. Since then, we're in the last place in the country. Wisconsin is the 50th state, and we have a bigger problem. We're next, and we live next to Minnesota. Just to give you the numbers right now, the current numbers for 2020 is Minnesota is the number one state and invests $7.22 per capita. Wisconsin is the lower on the line and is investing 14 cents per capita. So basically, that's what has been happening in the last, 5 years since the first survey did. I think that at the same time that we were being able to demonstrate the importance and economic impact from the arts in the community, the state start taking away the funding. And right now, we're the lowest state supporting the arts in the country. Right? For me, that is unacceptable. I think that what we need to do is just to try to find a way to create a more powerful message to actually demand that this change. This needs to be changed. With the COVID-19, something came really apparent. We were affected because we were receiving some grants already. They were awarded to us. And after COVID-19, all the money available for nonprofits was taken into, and I understand why. It was only human services, shelter, food, and health. If you're a nonprofit organization that is not directly servicing and I believe that they are important, those activities, mm-hmm. you were not having access to funds. Also, there is a lot of incentives that have been coming, but nonprofits are not eligible to those access to those funds. So that's what I believe, that this is important. We need to make a strong case that we as a community, artistic community, needs the support to continue creating this vibrancy, this bringing all the economic development to the city and to the county. That's my hope.
Thank you. And our guests today on Community Matters, talking about arts and culture in southeastern Wisconsin during the pandemic, are Kevin Poirier, the vice chairperson of the Kenosha Commission on the Arts, Francisco Loyola, executive director of the Kenosha Creative Space, Beth Dari, director of Lemon Street Gallery, and Dale Miller, Lemon Street's president. And I think that's a very important point you've made. The arts community is not pleading for something special in terms of special treatment for itself because you're so deserving or we're so wonderful. It's because we are an integral part of the community. We're an integral part of cognitive development of young people. We're an integral part of the quality of life. And if people want to attract business to Wisconsin and young people to Wisconsin, the quality of life matters. Quality of life has a lot to do with the fine and performing arts and cultural institutions. We know that. We know that not because we just feel good about it. We know that because there's economic research that backs it up. So this is an important topic and really worthy of serious consideration even today. Now, I wonder if we could just go a little broader And I'd like a little feedback from all of you. In our Tri-County area that our signal covers, Racine, Walworth, Kenosha, and we also go over a little bit into Northeast Lake County, across the border into Illinois. You're all immersed in the arts in various different ways. I wonder if you could speak to how your organizations and organizations and venues, including music venues, clubs, how they're doing and what kind of feedback you're getting from the arts community. Let's take it down now to where, what kind of feedback we're getting. Please, who would like to start off as to where the community stands right now in terms of how people are coping and successful or non-successful in terms of audiences and their business model?
Hi, Beth. Lynn. Yes, so that's a really big question. It's a big statement. What we're finding is when COVID initially hit, nobody had any idea how big this event was going to be. We have seen the effect of the cancellation of the Kenosha Art Market that we've held in Union Park. Our artist receptions, classes, our clay studio, all of those things have had to reinvent themselves. Through developing an online relevance, through social media, we have provided people that opportunity to stay connected with our organization and our artists, and to, I think, get a sense of appreciating art through what we've been trying to do on social media. Mm-hmm. I think people are generally frustrated that they aren't able to go to receptions, they're not able to go to music venues, they're looking at this at all in a different way.
I was just gonna add to, this is Dale again, that art is social. I mean, visual art is social, the making, the viewing of it, music, obviously, social, theater, etc. So with COVID being antisocial, can I put it that way? It makes it difficult.
Distancing.
I didn't hear what he said, I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
So we're looking to have a whole different perspective on how we present the arts to the audiences that we would normally have come to us. And that is a perspective in which we, as an organization with our board of directors, with our staff, that we're having to readdress, and we are working our way through it. It's an unprecedented time, and we are adding to our social skills, our skill base, as far as technology, as far as partnering with other organizations to accomplish what we've done pre-COVID.
Francisco, do you have an insight?
Yes. Technically, we have been closed, and the Kenosha Care Space has been closed since March 20th. So we started until about 4 weeks ago, starting doing some outdoor events on Thursday nights. But we switched into some of the web concerts into an online venue. So I think that we successfully put together a partnership with other two organizations. Then we were able to provide the musicians an outlet, online outlet, where they were able to generate some revenue, because it was not only us, it was pretty much every artist didn't have access to any source of income for some time. So I think that what this is happening is forcing us to reevaluate what we do. And let me give you an example. But the way that we're thinking right now is that we need to find a way that we can generate a stream of revenue with 10 people in the room, instead of having events that is going to bring 100 people. The other thing, and we're reevaluating actually the impact of the art in the community. Through the riots, the violence that we have experienced lately, that came on top of we have on COVID-19, I believe that the art is even is becoming even more important. After all the incidents took place, all the windows in downtown Kenosha were boarded up with plywood, and it looks like an empty city. So the whole community, all the artists' organizations got involved, and they were painted in murals. Has been referred, Kenosha became a city of temporary murals. But I think that through the art and to these conversations that were taking place during the painting of those murals, the narrative that was presented changed. And I think that this is giving us an opportunity to start conversations that we need to have and that we have delayed and we don't want to have, because they are really, really difficult conversations. The incidents that happened, in my view, became just a warning. So the socioeconomic inequalities, the divisive nature of the connection right now, and if you have a conversation, it's going to be polarized in 2 seconds, going in different directions. I believe the art is going, music, visual, poetry is going to give us an opportunity to establish conversations that otherwise will be really difficult, and that has been happening. Right now, we're working behind the scenes to try to put together a poetry event, inviting all the African American in order to express their frustration, feelings, etc. And I think that that's going to be a more important role. Just to finalize, I like the normal aspect of art, the visual art, what you consider art. But I think that at this moment we have an opportunity. I have a conversation with Melissa Snauser, who's the director of the Pete Held Ensemble in Chicago. She's a musician, and she says that in these times, artists have a moral obligation to use their talents in order to make social change, in order to affect their community in a positive way. And let me give you an example. What we're trying to do, with the help of Kevin Poirier, we have a mural, this on 6th Avenue, representing the changing of our community, the demographic changes they are taking in a visual way. There is still a lot of people in the community that don't believe that our community has been changing. So we're trying to have this conversation in a positive way. So I believe that the role of the art is changing. It's not only have a nice quality fine art. I think that the role of the art is helping you to establish this social change in the community.
You're reminding me of some of the great Greek plays of ancient times that address important moral and ethical issues, and there's no stronger example of the relationship of art to morality and ethics and politics than that. It's really a pleasure to hear you talk about that. I see that Dale, did you want to speak, or Beth?
I think that, yeah, this is Dale again. I agree with Francisco that there is such a lot of positive that can come out of the circumstances we have found ourselves in Kenosha. Art is such a vital part. It's almost been in the shadows in a lot of people's minds, that art is something that is separate from their lives, without recognizing how integral it really is. Music is a big thing, television, movies, poetry, live music, theater, all of that people tend to take for granted. And I think it has become a bit separated from the reality that art is an entity of its own that needs to be recognized. We have seen the visual arts, as Francisco pointed out, explode in our city on all of the boarding up of the downtown area. And I think that that is a very vivid and visual example of how things can change when the arts are able to express themselves in a community. I just think that there's such a lot of hope for Kenosha moving forward. Many positive things that can come out of the circumstances we found ourselves in. And I do believe that the arts are going to lead a way in that. People join together over music. People chat about the theater or poetry they've read or whatever thing you can think of. And that's the things that tend to unify people. It gives that dialogue for people to discuss difficult topics. So I think we have a lot of hope moving forward.
Those are really important points. And, you know, it occurs to me that people talk about the sports being the national pastime, and sports are wonderful. But really, if sports are the national pastime, what are the arts? Frankly, I think people spend more time with the creative arts than they do with sports, most people. And there certainly is of, yeah, they're certainly equally important in people's lives, but we don't seem to talk about them that much for some reason. And I'm glad we are talking about them. Kevin, do you have an insight you would like to share at this point on these topics?
Well, you know, I will echo what Francisco did. I think the art can really help the community come together. The board was a great idea. There was people from all walks of life getting together, working in a project together. And I think that really showed the community coming together. You know, we are all very diverse in both, or even in the arts, in both of our politics, our races, what we believe in, where creed is, but we really everybody just came together. I think the project that I was a part of with the mural with the photos of the elementary age kids that kind of represents the racial makeup of the community is also something that has become more relevant since all these events have happened. And you know, if you haven't seen it, it is downtown, you know, right across from Frank's Diner, and now it's going to be reproduced at the Kenosha Creative Space. I think we have a duty in the art to be trying to put our community together in the best way that we can, and I think we can do that really well. I mean, we're trying, and that's about the only thing we can do. And I think we just need to keep on trying and keep on talking to people that don't agree with us, people that don't look like us, and come together.
Mr. Poirier, there's been some talk now and some news releases about various kinds of emergency funding coming from the federal government or the state governments, and those are usually administered through local pass-through organizations. At this early point, what possibilities do you see existing for relief funding from the state and federal governments to help museums, zoos, the creative arts, performing arts, music venues, not-for-profit and for-profit commercial venues and arts businesses? Do you have any inkling? Have you heard anything yet from officials or through the news media that gives you immediate hope? Kevin or Francisco, either one of you have any? Francisco, you have something on that?
Yeah, first, your last question, and then I want to make a comment about the sports. On September 3rd, Governor Evers announced a COVID-19 program. This for a cultural organization grant program. So they are allocated a few million dollars exclusively to arts organizations. So we're applying for that grant, and I believe that's the only opportunity I have seen it. And the biggest scheme of things is not only local, but this is a statewide initiative. So if you divide it in the statewide, I don't think the Kenosha is going to receive a big influx of money, but I think it's better than the having nothing the way that we are right now. That's the only initiative I have seen coming from the government supporting just the arts and cultural venues. You mentioned something really important. With the one of the goals with the survey and to try to keep putting the spotlight on the importance of the arts is this. Sasha Mandel, the concert master for the Symphony Orchestra and the and Racine Symphony Orchestra, Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, he plays in pretty much from Chicago to Milwaukee. He's from Brazil. He is actually said that in Brazil and in South America, the music and art has exactly the same standard as football, soccer. So the, there are competitions with the kids from to have symphony and philharmonic orchestra competitions across the country, and that's the reason why there is a lot of immigration from in the country. There is a lot of musicians that come from Brazil, Venezuela, Argentina, because they appreciate more that. He mentioned this, and he put the numbers. I don't remember exactly the numbers. Like he said, the 20% of the budget, the Miller, just one company in the state, will be allocated for the arts. It will pay for all the art school programs in the state. Just 20% on marketing of one company, because we don't support the arts. We support the sports. But the arts are not really supported right here. And the reason is this. If you ask any question, any musician, any artist usually is asked this question, what do you do? They say, I am a musician. And say, yes, but what do you do? How do you make money? Because they are assuming the artists and musicians and don't make money. And the reason is because we don't believe the arts are important enough to be supported. In the same way the sports are supported. So I think that this kind of conversations and these economic surveys will be able to present a better impact so that this can be changing slowly. It's going to take a long time, but I think that needs to change.
Any other comments on that theme? I wonder if we might move on and talk a little bit more about your own organizations and what your theories are and what your experience is and what you're hearing from your colleagues in the arts community and what you're hearing from music venues. You know, I'm discovering that in a lot of professional organizations and not-for-profit contexts where I'm very active, as you know, that while in-person attendance at events may be small or non-existent, organizations are discovering that by thinking beyond four walls of an enclosed space, they can invite more people into their programming. Now, this is, I think, really important for people who are handicapped. I think it's really important for people who are ill. I'm old enough to have experienced some episodes myself, and being able to participate in things virtually is really important. And organizations are finding that they can attract larger audiences than they ever have by adding a virtual component. In fact, I think that the new model for the future will be that having an event that's only in person without a virtual component is going to be seen as self-destructive, in that it self-limits your revenue, it self-limits your audience, and it really has some very bad social justice impacts on people in various circumstances, whether that be for economic, physical, or other reasons. Now, what are you planning to do at Lemon Street in the next 6 months, for example, Dale and Beth?
Thank you, Len. We are looking at developing our online presence. We have been doing Live at Lemon, which is a replacement for our artist receptions. We have featured artists in our brick gallery that rotate on a monthly basis. We have restarted that. And instead of having the usual in-person receptions, we are doing a Facebook Live gallery tour. Get my words mixed up there, and we're calling it Live at Lemon. In addition to that, we are going to develop our ability for online sales. And so we were going to be able to present our artist members' work on a different platform than one that most of them are usually accustomed to. We're going to try and strike a balance with in-person and online representation of the gallery. its artists, but we're also going to look further into doing online classes that feature local teachers. We're still obviously trying to figure out exactly how that's going to work best for us. We're collaborating with other artists and other organizations that can teach us a few things that we don't know, help us get up to speed so this doesn't take us 6 months. I think that is something that is good that is coming out of the COVID-19 era, let's call it that, good old 2020. We're being forced to look in different areas that we were tentative about previously. So we're gonna embrace the new age, I think. Do you agree, Beth?
I do agree. And just to add real quickly, we are taking these next few months to really look at structuring the art market that we've held in Union Park to be able to develop that for area artists and what partnerships and collaborations we can do. We will be able to set it up physically so that it is a much more acceptable for social distancing and all of the requirements that the CDC has put out. It was a big learning curve for us. We're also looking at reopening our clay studio in perhaps the next 6 months, which is a public space where people can come and work on their independently on pottery and clay projects that they are able to do. It has really forced us to be able to make some really good choices that strengthen the organization and bring the arts, which is a really big word, but I mean, our members are artists themselves. So they're concerned about sales. They want to make money. We want them to be able to develop as an artist and to make money. We want to bring classes to the public. We want these people to be able to learn new skills and really survive through these horrible pandemic times by being able to do something creative. And it's we're looking at not just how we've always used to do it, but now we're being able to look at how we can do it and strike a bigger audience. And so it's been good. It's been painful at times, but it's been good.
And there are ways to make money. You can use all sorts of electronic ways of making contributions. Some of the artists' friends I know, when they're performing, let people know that they can contribute through all kinds of cash apps that are available today, even through Facebook. So I think organizations are needing to remember that there are other ways to do things that are virtual, and as they can combine these events. Kevin, are you aware of any outreach efforts or techniques that are working, and anything about the music venues you want to add, any of you?
Well, actually, I'll go to Francisco on this because I'm also a member of the board, and I think the way we've done it has been really nice, and there's been classes that have been taken online and performances that have been done online and fundraising has been online. So, Francisco, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah,
give me a brief update on that. We have another couple minutes.
Brief update. We switched a lot of our operations online. There is a lot of activities that everybody knows about the Kenosha Clear Space because there is really visible. But there is also a lot of activities that are not open to the public. And we have been working with three different schools, elementary schools, with two high schools, and different projects, and all of them are being done online. We have to upgrade. We receive a little bit of a grant, and we just are installing our professional capability for streaming at a great professional quality. We partnered with two other organizations, but the partnership, now they are starting to get busy now, so we cannot go back to have just normal equipment. We need to come back to use the same quality that we were using. So finally, we were able to get it. We are testing it this weekend, And I think that that's going to help us in the future. We're moving a lot of that with activities online. And probably the best thing that is happening is the, it took us a little bit of time, but our second floor, our community space is finally ready. So it's finished. We were supposed to open it really a few weeks ago. We will open it soon.